Would y'all give Brother David Williams a warm welcome today?
It's a joy to be in your presence and be in the presence of the Lord this morning. Someone said a moment ago about the occasion, and sorry for the occasion. Brother Greg called me early in the week and he said, Brother Dave, my dad passed away and just wonder if you can fill in for me on Sunday. And I'm so thankful that I can stand in this godly place and stand behind a man of God like your pastor. Great, great man of God, and a great mentor, a great pastor for you. So thankful that God brought him here 27 years ago. I met him shortly after he came. He came to visit my wife's grandparents, and got to meet him for the very first time. And we've kept that relationship, and I just praise God for Greg Warnock. Praise God for the stance he takes in your church, in First Baptist and in Lincoln County and across the state and literally across the nation. And you do need to be praying for him. I was talking to Pastor Nick and thank God for that young man right there. He's not as young as he used to be, but he's still young. Still got some hair and he can twirl it around, right? Nick and I go back, many of you don't know, but Nick and I go all the way back in Katrina days. He was on the coast and I was on the coast as well, and met each other and came through Katrina with that, and just a blessed guy, and I'm so thankful that he's here. But back to your pastor. It's going to be different for him than it's ever been. When he gets in the car, he puts the key in the ignition, and he cranks it to drive away from Savannah, Georgia. It's going to be different because he's leaving his mom. Even though his dad's been down for a year, he leaves his mom, and it's a different situation. So you be praying for him. You be praying for him whenever it works out for him to come back home and come back to Brookhaven and be lifting him and Miss Cherry up as they come back. I thank God for that man, and I thank God for his family, and I thank God for you, First Baptist. Know many of you, as I stand in this place, many of you knew me when I wasn't walking with the Lord. I got schoolmates in here. We graduated together. Some were behind us. But many of you know us. And I thank God that I'm not who I used to be. Thank God for what he's done in my life. I hope you can say that this morning. I hope you can say, God, I thank God I'm not who I used to be. God, you may not have me where you want me to be, but God, you're working on me. And I'm so thankful that God's still working on us. That little song, God's still working on me. I praise God he is. And gratitude, you think about that. Sometimes if we just get real with the Lord, we just throw up our hands and say, Lord, I give you me. I don't have anything else to give, God. I'll give you me. And some of us probably need to camp out right there this morning. I know your pastor's been preaching a series on suffering and the fact of dealing with that and how to deal with that and work through that, because it's coming. It is. It's happening. And you and I need to realize what's taking place. And literally, we look across the world and we'll see what's happening in other places. But you and I need to realize that it's taking place right here in our front door. And you and I need to be aware of that. And so this morning, in the time that I have, I want to speak to you on this subject: living life right side up in an upside down world. Living life right side up in an upside down world. Take your copy of God's Word this morning and go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to the book of the second law, if you will. And sort of a repeat. And if you know anything and you study a little bit in Deuteronomy, you know that Moses, it's the last book of the Torah, the Pentateuch, the law. And he's writing and he's reiterating some things. Folks have died that were in the wilderness, you know, and they didn't get to go over to the promised land. And so there's some reiteration of some things going on, and he's speaking in the midst of that. The Ten Commandments, the first set, have been broken. And God moved in his life. God brought him back up, and he rewrote the Ten Commandments, and he came down and gave them. So there's a lot of things going on in the midst of Deuteronomy and just reiteration. And as we start this morning, I want you to think in terms of, as we look in verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 10, the Word of God's going to say, "And now Israel." But if you will this morning, I want you to put your name there. I want you to put your personal name there. I also want you to put First Baptist Church, Brookhaven. If you're listening online this morning, you take the time where you are to put your name in that place. You can put our association in there. You can put our nation in there. We're in a time where you and I need to realize that we need to stand up for the cause of Christ, that we need to be willing to give it all and lay it on the line for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you will this morning, follow along in your copy of God's Word as we share in what God has for us this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and following along in verse 12 through verse 17. And now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of you? Put your name there. And now, David, whatever you put there, what does the Lord require from you? This day, 2024, October 27th, what does the Lord require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day. We are a chosen people. Verse 16, circumcise thee in your heart, and stiffen your neck no more, for the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality or take a bribe. Let's go to the Lord. Father, this morning, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, Holy Spirit of God, that you have your way right now in this place, at this hour, at this time. God, you know every heart, you know every life. If we're trying to hide from you, God, you know. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, our lives would agree right now, our minds would agree, our hearts would agree to just be open to the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, as we're before you this morning, God, show us, teach us, and then, God, may we grab hold to the boldness to live life right side up in a world that's so upside down. God, I pray you would have your way this morning. God, use me as an instrument, as a voice. And God, speak this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Often we hear the words, boy, our world's in a mess. And somebody will make a comment about that. And as we move towards the next few days and weeks, we hear more and more about that. But then when you begin to dig into the Word of God, listen, since the fall of man, the world's been in a mess. When we decided to go against God, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the garden, and things happened, and then it's progressively got worse to where you and I are today. And so when we think about our world, it's a messed up world. And we live in circumstances so many times and things that happen in our life that we may ask the question, or we may even just go to God and say, God, I don't understand. God, I just don't get it. How about my own life, God? I just don't understand. And Lord, I need some direction. We have people that go to self-help books and read all kinds of books, and we need to read. We need to read. We need to, you know, God has given us, most men don't like to read, but we need to discipline ourselves to the fact of read and to be open and think about that. But you know, our major reading ought to be in the Word of God. Dig into the Word of God and begin to know the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Listen to what it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You and I need to dig into the Word of God and see what God has for each one of us, because the Bible is relative for today. The truth of God is so relative. And you and I need to live that and understand that and let God speak into our life. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is living in action and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even unto the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts. It judges the attitudes of our heart. Let's read the Word of God. As we We read in the Word of God that we develop the attitude, that we develop the mind of Christ. Why? Because we're reading in the Word of God. And, oh, God, help us to be the men, the women, the young ladies and the young men that you so challenge us to be. The psalmist writes that the Word, his Word, is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. So we dig into the Word of God and we begin to get the answers of life as we dig deep into that Word. And you think about what Moses is writing in Deuteronomy. And over again it says that he's writing to a hard-headed people, a stiff-necked generation. It hadn't gotten any better. My wife is over here. She'll tell you I'm a hard-headed person. How many wives can agree this morning that your husbands are hard-headed men, right? Hands up everywhere, right? We're hard-headed. I won't go with the women there. We'll save that for later. But you think about hard-headed. God has given us the Word. God has laid the plan out, folks, and you and I need to make a decision. If you haven't listened and you hadn't been here for all the weeks, I did go back and listen to Brother Greg's message last week just to kind of see where he'd been and looked at what he had preached and the series on suffering. And the fact that you and I need to make a decision. Here's the thing, you got to decide how you're going to act before it ever happens. Don't be caught in the moment. And so it is as we live according to the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ and that God has for each one of our life. You and I need to make a decision on how we're going to live. The decision that we're going to make before the temptation or the circumstance ever comes. God help us to have the attitude, the mind of Christ. So you say this morning, what am I supposed to do in the situation that I am, in what life has done for me? That's why I went back this morning as we begin to think and I begin to pray about where to go this morning and standing in this place in this hour and going back to the Old Testament and thinking about what Moses was saying to the people, and then you can take that and bring it right forward to 2024. So what are you and I supposed to do this morning in a world that's so upside down, where everything seems to be in some bad situations? The first thing is, according to what Moses writes and what he says to us, is that we need to fear the Lord God. We need to learn to fear God. We live in a society that doesn't fear God. We live in a world that doesn't fear God. What does that mean this morning, Brother Dave? What does it mean really to fear God? It means to reverence Him, that ought to be our foundation. It's not just a haphazard kind of way of life. Literally, that word, the Hebrew word there is yara, and it actually means to be afraid, to tremble, to think about the mighty presence of God. Paul says to us that you and I are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. We live in a world that literally slaps our Lord and Savior in the face. And you and I, as children of God, as young men and young ladies, take a stand. Stand strong. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost you. Somebody has said recently, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you. And it will. How close do you want to walk with the Lord? Preaching a revival at Friendship this weekend. And I just simply ask this question, and I'll ask you this morning. Are you at peace with God where you are this morning? Is your life at total peace with God? When we think about gratitude, is your life at peace? And now let me turn that around, because a lot of us will say, yeah, I'm at peace with the Lord. But here's the deal. I want to take it a step further. Is God at peace with you? Is God at peace with me? Right where we are, right where we're living, the things that we're doing, the things that we're thinking about, is our life at peace with God? Shane Pruitt, our next gen expert, if you will, with the North American Mission Board, made a statement recently, and his statement is this, I quote, "A Christianity that gets you into heaven while also allowing you to continue living however you want here on earth is a Christianity that's foreign to the New Testament." Let me repeat that. A Christianity that gets you into heaven while also allowing you to continue living however you want to here on earth is a Christianity foreign to the New Testament. Why? Because when you come to Christ, it's a life changer. And God begins to work on you. It's a regeneration process that takes place when you think about salvation and you think about what God has done. And you know, think about your but God moment right now. If you've had a but God moment, that means that your life was living in sin. Your life was living in total disrespect to the Word of God. And there was conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and then there was a but God moment that literally changed your life for eternal purposes. You may not know the day, you may not know the hour, you may not even remember exactly where it occurred, but you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there was a but God moment in your life. And you changed direction in your life to where you were headed to a sinner's hell. And God changed your life. And you're headed to God's glorious heaven. A but God moment. And at that moment, you begin to put God first in your life. See, God, nowhere in God's word do you find where it says he becomes Savior without becoming Lord. You won't find that. You can search all you want to, you won't find it. God wants to be Savior and he wants to be Lord. The gospel changes who you are. Is God at peace with your life? You can go into 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I won't take you there this morning. But that verse 23 talks about the God of peace. And then you can go back into the first verses and look at what it really means to have that. I don't have time to go with you there this morning. But when we talk about the fear of God, when Moses is saying, and now Israel, put your name there, that you fear the Lord your God, it's a sense of awe. Go back to the New Testament church and in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, you find that things were happening. People were getting saved. 3,000 had been saved. And it says literally that the people were in awe. You know what's happened in the crossroads of America? You think about it, you know. We've lost the awe of God. We've lost who God really is. We've lost that reverent attitude. We've become complacent. We've become inactive. If we're not careful, we've developed a don't care attitude. We've become very idle in our life. Maybe idle in our quiet time. Maybe as men, we're not spiritual leaders. We're passing the buck to our wife. Or to somebody else. Maybe as parents that we're passing the buck of leadership to our children, to the church. We become idle and we forgot all that God is doing and we've compromised. I want to challenge you, First Baptist, this morning. If that's you in the midst of compromise, check your spirit this morning. Check your spirit. Check the fact of just in fear of the Lord, because it's decision time that we make a decision that we'll stand for the cause of Christ, that we'll be who God has called us to be. Mark yourself, decide yourself to fear the Lord, to recognize and believe and understand that God is in control and you and I are not. He's in full control. And God is sovereign. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And you and I need to recognize that this morning and put him in his place. So what am I supposed to do in this world that's so upside down is to put God in his place first in my life, to fear him and to be who he wants us to be as individuals. Secondly, this morning, to walk in godly ways, to live your life in a godly fashion. See, God changes our life. And as I told you this morning, people that know me and know us and have known us, there was a time in our life to where we didn't live according to the principles of God. But praise God that he changed our life. Now he's praised God for what he has done and the fear and the reverence. And he causes one to walk and to live. You can just put that in one word, lifestyle. Could I just ask you this morning, Does your lifestyle match what God would have for you? The lifestyle to which you live. I mean, not in here. It's easy to dress up and look right in this place. It's easy. But what about when we walk outside? Pastor Nick said that you have a great opportunity this afternoon. I want to just take it a step further. You have an awesome opportunity this afternoon to touch the community, to let them see that we give, and you guys do an awesome job of giving. Praise God for what you do. But don't ever take that for lightly. Touch a life, touch a child, touch a family. Watch what God will do and walk godly before others. Bring glory to God. It's not for you. It's not for personal gain, but it's for the cause of Christ, that we walk and we live above reproach, that we live life in obedience. The prophet Micah would say it like this in chapter 6, verse 8, do justice, love mercy, love kindness, and walk humbly. That we adopt that as our motto, and remember what Chain Pruitt said, that Christianity that we might claim that we have that might get us into heaven, or we claim that will get us into heaven, but it allows us to keep on living like we want to on earth. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, that's foreign to the New Testament. I was looking on social media yesterday. I don't do a lot of posting, do a lot of reading. And I saw someone that grew up in one of our youth groups. And I saw a post. And I read that post. And I went back and I read it again. Then I went, it was a repost is actually what it was. And basically it said, whatever you want to do, go do it. And everything's going to be all right in the end. No. That's not what the Word of God says. That's not what God teaches you and I, that we ought to stand on the authority of the Word of God, that He's laid out the plan, He's laid out the format for life, and you and I need to get on board with the plan. Unapologetically, unashamedly. We don't have to apologize for the gospel. We don't have to apologize for the stance that the Lord Jesus Christ makes. And you and I need to take and adapt that to the truth and be in our life who He's called us to be. Don't apologize for standing on the authority of the Word of God. Use your influence. Use your platform. I often think about friends of mine that have so much influence. And so many times they compromise. And I only go back and say, God, help them not to compromise. It's my prayer before you this morning. Don't compromise. Think about what God wants in your personal life. Reading through the Bible, and I just finished Jeremiah and headed in to Leviticus. And so many times we want to talk about the love of God, and He is a loving God. We want to talk about the goodness of God, and He is all goodness. We want to talk about His grace, and He's full of grace. Where will we be without grace? We want to talk about His mercy. Where will we be without His mercy? But when you get into the Old Testament and you begin to look and you begin to read the judgment of God, and you and I don't like to think about the judgment of God. We don't like to even talk about the judgment of God. But folks, I'm telling you, you and I need to bring that to the forefront and remind folks that, yeah, we serve a loving God. For God so loved the world that He gave Jesus, His one and only Son, that He sacrificed His life so that whoever would put their faith and trust in Him, they would not perish and have everlasting life. That's God. But for those who choose to go the other direction, the judgment of God is not where they want to be. And we need to proclaim not only the love of God, but we need to tell the other side. We need to proclaim the wrath of God. For those that live in disobedience, those who run from the gospel, those who choose not to adhere to the gospel, those who choose to do life, listen, their own way, there's going to come an abrupt end. And it's not going to be a good ending. Sometimes you and I, as Christians, if you're born again this morning, we forget there's going to be a judgment for us. There's going to be a judgment in the fact that it's called the judgment seat of Christ. And you and I are going to go before the Lord, and we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one will receive what we're due. And we're going to give an account for the life to which we live in the body. We're going to give an account as we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ of our life. Doesn't mean we're not saved. But what it does mean is we'll have any crowns to lay at his feet to receive the rewards that Jesus Christ has for us. Jesus went to the cross for the sin of man. This morning, have you placed your faith and trust in him? Is God at peace with your life? You see, the penalty of God is not something to be toyed with. It's just not something to be toyed with. And so you think about God and what he wants to do in our life, living life right side up in an upside down world. First, that we fear God. Second, that we walk in a godly way, our lifestyle. And then Moses says, love God. Love God. How many times do we say, boy, I love God. I love him. But does our lifestyle match up to the fact that we love the Lord? Does our lifestyle take us to that point? When the Bible says that we need to love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength, is God there? Deuteronomy 6, that's what he says. Love the Lord thy God. Our actions speak. Love is an action word. We tend to want to make it feelings. But I want to ask you this morning, do you love God, really? God loves you. God loves me. God loves those that are outside this building. But are we really, really loving God? You know, the Bible over and over talks about the fact they'll know we're Christians by our love. You've got a tremendous opportunity to show that this afternoon. Love your community. You'll do a great job. I know you will. But love the Lord thy God. Put him first. Put him first. Is there anything in your life this morning that's taken precedence before God? Is there anything that you've put before God in decisions that you're making? Everything God does is based on his love for you and I as mankind. Everything he does. And so we think about all that God wants to do in our personal life. But God moments, because he loved us. Church, listen to what he says to us this morning when he talks about loving us so much that he sent his son. And in this world that's upside down, you and I have a right side up opportunity to give them Jesus, to let them know what Jesus has done in our life and how he's changed our life and what he wants to do in their life. Don't complicate his plan with our man-made rules. Just get on board with Jesus and let Jesus be all that he wants to do. What are we supposed to do today? Love the Lord. How do we live in this upside down world? Love the Lord. Walk godly. Let others see Jesus in us. Fear godly. And then Moses says, serve faithfully. Serve faithfully. Living life in an upside down world, just serve. I made a statement yesterday, I'll make it again. So many times we find ourselves in life, many of us will go through life and we've never served in the kingdom of God. We've missed all that God had. I'm going to just make a statement to you this morning. If you're born again and you're not serving in the kingdom of God, you're not in obedience to the Lord. You're not living life in obedience to the Lord. God saved you. God saved me so that you and I could serve. That's his plan. And so this morning, under God, I pray that if you're not serving, that you'll get on your knees before the Lord and say, God, show me. God, what do I need to do? How can I help, God? What needs to happen in my life? That's why we ought to know our spiritual gift. That's part of the reason so we can serve in our giftedness. but to get on our knees before the Lord and serve God faithfully. Jesus set the example for us in John 13 by washing feet. Probably most of us, if you watch sporting events, you've seen the advertisement of He Gets Us campaign, right? I heard people complaining. I even saw social media posts where people complained about the commercial. And I got to thinking, and they had had a presentation at one of the conventions, either Southern Baptist or Mississippi, I don't remember. But they brought it in and they told us, said, dig deeper. So I invite you this afternoon, go to the hegetsus.org, I think it is. Look at their what they're out to do. And see, the whole complaining was, well, they're serving, they're doing this, but they never tell them how to get to Jesus. You know the saying. People don't care how much we know till they know how much, say it, church, we care. And that's the whole motive behind the He Gets Us campaign, that we're in the trenches of life with those who are homeless, with those who are on drugs, with those who are in prostitutes, those who are in abusive situations, that we're there and we're ministering wherever we may be. And the whole idea is washing feet. And then we're able to share the love of Jesus. Wherever we are, wherever we go, just be Jesus. Whatever God has called you to be, whatever profession God has called you to, just be Jesus. Just be His hands. Just be His feet. Serve with unrestrained restraint. Serve the Lord with gladness. Walk in His presence with obedience. This morning, I'll close with this last thing. You see, Moses says, now, O Israel, as you put your name there, what does God really require from you? What does He require from me? To fear the Lord, to walk in His ways and our lifestyle, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul. That means seek Him wholeheartedly. Seek Him on your knees before the Lord. Seek Him. And then to keep His commandments and His statutes that He's given us. That last thing this morning is obey supremely. That we lay it on the line and we say, okay, God, I get it. And so, God, this morning, I want to live my life in daily obedience. God, I want to just bow before You and say, Lord, not my will, but Yours, Lord. May change Your direction. I promise you, He probably will change Your direction. Will you be open to the call of God this morning, maybe in this building this morning, listening online, that you've never made Jesus Lord of your life? You've never been a time in your life where you said, Lord, I need forgiveness of my sin. God, I want You to have all of me. God, I lift up my hands. I don't have anything else to give, God, but I surrender and I give my life to You. Then you may say, Brother Dave, I've been a child of God for a long time, but I've never really got involved. Would you answer the call of God to that this morning? God, whatever You have for me, God, I just surrender. You know, in places like this, we've sing the hymns many times, wherever He leads, I'll go. We sing the song, the hymn, I Surrender All. But we never meant it. We never laid it on the line. So I challenge you this morning, First Baptist, think about your life. Think about living life right side up in an upside down world. What does God want you to do as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, as a dad, as a young lady or young man, as a grandparent, as a parent? What do you need to do? See, we get so busy about doing the other things that we forget the main thing, and that's Jesus Christ. That we let Him have complete control, and we're devoted to Him. We realize who He is, and we let Him have all of us. So this morning, church, as we learn to live life right side up in a messed up world, so upside down, that we look at our priorities, and we base our life on fearing the Lord, putting Him on the very throne of our life, that our lifestyle matches who we say we are, not only in this place, but when we leave this place, and we love God, and we love others. We're in the people business, so we love others, so therefore we serve, and therefore we obey the Lord. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Worship team's coming. Brother Nick's going to be down front this morning. This morning, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I ask you before the Lord this morning, would you just do a quick evaluation? God, what needs to happen in my life this morning? Maybe you're in this building this morning. God's been challenging you to answer the call to ministry, to answer the call to missions, to answer the call just to serve in some capacity. Whether it be children with Lisa, whether it be youth with Chris, whether it be in worship with Nick, be on your pastor's team to serve and to teach and to be. God, I surrender this morning. I truly surrender. God, I've been out there, Lord, on this guilty distance. But God, I want to walk closer. So this morning, I want to come to the altar, God, and I want to bow before you, Lord, and I just want to be open. And I just want to say, Lord, have your way. Because God, I want to learn to obey supremely. I want to learn to love and serve. I want my lifestyle to match who I am, God. Whoever I'm around, I want to set the standard. God, I've been guilty of compromise. But God, before you this morning, I agree that I will not compromise any longer. That I will stand strong. And I'll be who you've called me to be, God. Father, this morning, the hearts of people are before you. So God, I pray they would answer the call this morning. I pray they would answer the call. God, you would move up on their life. And God, you would have your way. God, do a work. Start here this morning, across our county, across our state, a nation, and the world. God, let it begin with us. Living life right side up in an upside down world. God, may we set the standard according to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Stand with us, church.